Amen. Amen. I have not touched it, so I don't know. So, amen. Sounds like my mic's awful loud tonight, so you'll hear me yelling at you tonight. So, it's a blessing to have everyone. Hope you've had a good afternoon. I've seen Brother Stephen, Brother Richard, Brother John Ridings is on with us. I have Brother James, Sister Edra in my pocket here, and we'll get started. I hope that you're looking forward to this week. I hope that God spoke to you this morning, giving you an opportunity to meditate on Him and concentrate on His desires for your life. If you've got a hymn book with you, turn over to page number 439. Count your blessings. 439. We'll stand as we sing. Count your blessings. Page 439. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will surprise as the days go by. Sorry. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. On the third, and I'll try to not make up my own words. When you look at others with their lands of gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. On the last here. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, Your love for us, I thank You for just how You've taken care of us. Father, as we think of this song, so many times we forget to count them. So many times we forget to recognize that it is that You that is the supplier of everything that we have. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight as we study Your Word, as we sing these songs, Lord, that we would just turn our hearts more towards You, Lord. I'm not saying that and we're not already turned, but Lord, help us to draw closer to You. For we know that You've promised that if we'll cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, Lord, that we can draw nigh to You and You'll draw nigh to us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight to truly seek a closer walk with You. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Turn over to page number 244. 244, Amazing Grace. We don't sing this a whole lot, as especially on a Sunday night. But I can't help but think about this morning's message and the fact that when I see His righteousness or His holiness, I just thank Him. And I'm sure thankful for amazing grace. He did deliver me up from the grave, that pit. And I don't have to worry about it. I know some would say, well, preacher, what if you have a death? Well, it'll be a physical death. I'll never have a spiritual death. And I'll just move from this old body to a body that's incorruptible. Amen. 244. Amazing grace, how sweet that sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home on the last. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let's praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Amen. I'm thankful for that amazing grace. 245, right next door, 245. The old account was settled. I didn't know which way I wanted to go, 243 or 245, but we'll go 245 tonight. The old account was settled all because of that amazing grace. 245, I'll let you stay seated on this. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgive. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and said, oh, long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. On the third, When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled. And settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin. For thus He hath commanded for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen, amen. I'm thankful for everyone tuning in. And hope you've just really absorbed what God's teaching us. He has us in this direction and thanksgiving for us. I can't help but thank that what thanksgiving really does and giving Him the praise and the glory for it. You realize that if we would consider the text that I gave you this morning with Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 15, where the Bible had said, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And that sacrifice of praise to Him and that fruit of our lips. And why would it be so important? And why would God have that desire? I gave you 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning as well. In that, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And so we look at that and we understand that thanksgiving does some things to us. You see, if we're thankful for what God's done, we acknowledge Him for being the provider. We also have to come to that place where as much as we acknowledge Him as the provider, we have to humble ourselves from pride. The two areas that we have, and I don't know, maybe this is just me. You'd say, "Preacher, I'm not this way," but I'm definitely one of those that I see a problem, I set my mind towards it, and I say, "All right, I'm going to figure out this problem. I'm going to whoop this problem. I'm going to do this." But may I tell you that we don't do anything on our own. And there's times in our lives where we forget that it's not us, but it's Him in us. We think of Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 13. I remember when Brother John Futch was alive, he used to always tell me, he said, "Preacher, you're going to wear yourself out. There's no way you're going to keep going." And I'd always tell him, Philippians 4:13, "For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But the only way I can do it is when I'm letting Him do it through me. And so I think of thanksgiving and the importance of it. And as we look at this chapter in Psalms 30, if you're just joining us tonight, if you would, turn on over there. Psalm chapter number 30. Now, I had already preached this morning. I preached verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to re-preach those. You say, "Preacher, would you give me a high point? Would you at least let me know?" I encourage you to go back and watch the video from this morning. I don't want to preach it again, but I do want us to understand the importance. Man is prideful. We could look at the Tower of Babel. We could look at their desire to show God what man could do. I think about even before the Tower of Babel. I think about the imagination of man and how it was wicked before God continually. And may I tell you that we're right back in that idea and that thought, and it all comes back to pride, and it all comes back to our own desires and our own directions and our own choices in life. And I know you're going to say, "Preacher, I don't know how you can relate not being thankful." Have you noticed that our day is not a thankful day? There's no gratitude within people today. Even within believers, it's almost as if it's everyone feels like something is owed them or deserved to them. And not really even thankful for it. I'm telling you,
we are going to see a day where we're going to be thankful for someone to give us a bean or a crumb of bread. And I look at our Savior and I find that He's given us so much more. I do want to read all 12 verses again in Psalm chapter 30 just to get us back into that idea, back into that context. We see everything that's going as David here, the psalmist, is dedicating his house to the Lord. And he says there in verse number 1, let's stand if you're willing and able. Verse number 1, he says, I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought my soul from the grave, and Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Verse 6 is where I'll pick up tonight. It says, And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there if my blood, or in my blood, when I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. In verse number 11, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and gird me with gladness. To the end of my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I pray that You would help us today to just really have a grasp of how important it is to be thankful. And Lord, we really only have one to be thankful to. Sure, we can thank all of those and all around us, and Lord, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, how they care for us and tend to us. And Lord, sure, we can be thankful. But Lord, all of that thankfulness towards man is vain if we can't be thankful to You. Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight to really have a focus, really have a desire that tomorrow morning I'm going to go to bed tonight thankful, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow thankful. Lord, don't allow me to be like the children of Israel in the provocation, Lord, when they would murmur and complain. And Lord, don't allow me to be that one that's so fixed on the settings around us that I lose sight of the goodness that You've given. Oh, Lord, help us. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this, and this morning I had told you that it's sad how Thanksgiving, of course, the stores have always had it where they really skip over Thanksgiving. You go, I think it was Brother Sutton and I had discussed it the other night, that you go from Halloween candy, and all of a sudden now it's Christmas, and everything's Christmas candy, and they've got Christmas out. In fact, I know Hobby Lobby had Christmas out in July, and they were ready for it. And you know, Thanksgiving's always been that one commercially that's been skipped over. There hasn't been that great of a profit for them, and that's profit as far as monetary, not profit as far as someone who sees in the future. But the fact that they just didn't get that big of a gain out of it. It's not like you're going to get little chocolate turkeys. I mean, they thought chocolate eggs sounded good, but chocolate turkeys just haven't hit the market yet. And now, listen, you market. I said it tonight. So if you start to see chocolate turkeys, it's because this turkey came up with it. And so you look at this and you see the whole mindset. And how the dollar drives. May I tell you, we have so much that the dollar can't buy. that God's given us. Of course, I think of our salvation, but then I just think about peace. May I tell you that money has never bought peace. Money cannot buy peace, and you cannot have peace in the absence of God. I look as well, and you'd say, well, prosperity. And David speaks of prosperity, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to pick up with that. But I don't even find it as prosperity. Prosperity isn't a reason to be thankful. I find many people that are very prosperous and never thankful once. And so I find that God is still good to us in spite of us. I think about Brother Ray Brown. One of the last times I'd seen Brother Ray, he had told me that God had blessed him in spite of him. And I like that. I've used it quite a bit because God does. He blesses me in spite of me. And God is always good to me. And it's not because I'm good to Him. It's because I'm His son and He loves me. In Psalm chapter number 30, verse number 6, we find here the psalmist, and he says, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." And so I find the remaining of thanksgiving. We've looked at this, and I know you say, "Preacher, you've alliterated it again," and that's just kind of the way I do it. We've seen the rejoicing of thanksgiving, the remembrance of thanksgiving, the repentance of thanksgiving, and tonight I'd like us to start off with the remaining of thanksgiving. The remaining of thanksgiving. I would look here at this verse, and I can't help but be reminded of our distractions. He says, "In my prosperity." And you say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand how prosperity distractions," because so often when we're prosperous, we really have need of nothing. I could take you over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, and the problem with that church of Laodicea was the fact that they were prosperous. They had need of nothing. They didn't even need the one that was supposed to have the church, the one that the church was for. And boy, I'm thankful that at Northside Baptist Church, I don't ever want it to be my church. I always want this to be God's church. It's not my church. I'm not the head of it. I'm just getting to pastor it. And so, as I look at this, I think of our distractions. So often, when we have abundance, we tend to be less thankful. You ever notice that? Brother Scooter and I have talked many times. I try to not be wasteful. I don't like to waste. It really bothers me. I've had some times that the boys, I'm always reminded of these, we call them buffets down here. And I'm reminded of these buffets, and we would go into a buffet, and I would always tell John and Jacob as they were old enough to go get their own plate, but I'd tell them, "Look, small portions, because just because it looks good doesn't mean it's going to taste good." Boy, before I know it, one of those boys had brought back a plate, and it might be heaping with macaroni and cheese. Now, don't get me wrong, I like macaroni and cheese, but I don't want that to be my only meal. And it bothered me. They'd get something or they'd get a vegetable thinking it looked really good. And I'm telling you, at those buffets, they know how to make something look like it's going to taste good. And then you get it and it doesn't taste quite like you thought it was going to. And so you're choking it down. And you say, "Preacher, I don't choke it down. I just let it go." Well, it bothers me. And so I would always try to eat some of what the boys had brought. If they didn't like it, I'll stomach it. I don't want that. But that wasn't what I was going to get. But I'll go ahead and help them eat it because it bothered me to waste. I find in our prosperity, I'm telling you, America's great wasters. We had just looked at the prodigal son last week, that great waster. And so many times in our prosperity, we're distracted with the goodness of God. And we begin to think that it was something that we've done. We begin to think that it was some place that we had. It was because we deserved it, because we got it, because we gained it. And because of this gain, we have need of nothing. I often wonder those, and listen, it doesn't just have to be with financial. I look and I find that so many times we lose faith when we think that we're driving the bike on our own. When we're the ones that are out there in control of it on our own, we lose faith. And we begin to walk by sight. And we don't need anything. And the psalmist here says, "Look, in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved." What's he not going to be moved from? Giving God the credit for it. Giving God the praise for it. Giving God the glory for it. And he said, "I will not be moved." Often our blessings distract our walk. Are we only thankful when it goes our way? Are we only thankful when it goes our way? Are we only thankful if our team wins, if our bank account is set, if the stock market's the way we want it to be, if the housing market's the way we want it to be, if the grocery store's the way we want it to be, if the family's the way we want it to be, if the church is the way we want it to be? And David said, in my prosperity I shall not be moved. I'm not going to allow it to distract me. I'm afraid, and I know I've preached this before, but so often the blessings sink the ship. I believe I'd even mentioned it last week. The blessings sink the ship. I'm one of those. I don't like panhandlers. If someone's truly in need, that's great. I'll help them. I'll do whatever I can, but I'm afraid so many of those that are panhandling, they're panhandling there. That's their career. That's their job. That's their livelihood. That's what they're doing. And we've got some areas around us that they have some tent cities set up out in the woods, and they come out. In fact, we were traveling down 204 heading to Savannah early this last week, and you'd see one that was right here getting them off the southbound 95 exit. And then you'd find another one right over here, and he was getting them off the northbound 95 exit. And then you'd find another one that was up there at the next intersection, and boy, he was getting them from the right side. And if you'd look over, there was another one getting them from the left side. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, may I tell you, I had a friend of mine that thought that they were really in need, and he took them, and he went and he got. He kept them in mind, and he said, "Boy, I need to help them. I don't like to give them money because you don't know what they're doing with the money." And so he went out and he had bought a great big case of Chef Boyardee raviolis. And he was even so wise, he didn't get the kind that you needed a can opener for. He got the ones that had the little ring and you could pop that open. And he had even been nice enough to give them some utensils, some plasticware, so that they could get that ravioli out of that can. You say, "Preacher, you want them to eat cold raviolis?" Listen to me, if you're hungry, you're going to be thankful for whatever you get. And you know, my friend had pulled up and he was helping some out. Now, it wasn't those in this little area here. It was some over in another area just a few miles down the road. And he had pulled up there. He'd see them there every Saturday morning when he would go to his hunting area. And he said, "Boy, this Saturday morning I got out there and I was going to give them some raviolis. And you know, not a single one of them wanted it." I guess what I'm getting at is, are we hungry today? Are we thirsty? I can't help but think of the psalmist and how the deer panteth after the water. Oh, listen, are we really thankful in our prosperity? I know I've told you before, Americans, we are really not poor. I'm looking and I've told you, I'm not going to turn away. If the government says, "Hey, we're going to send out a check," I'm not going to send them a letter and say, "Hey, don't send me one. We could definitely use it and put it to good use. And boy, by the way, tithe off of it. Amen." And, you know, be able to glorify God with it. I don't look at it coming from Washington, D.C. I believe that the Lord said, "Hey, and let me give you a little bit of favor. Let me just help you out there." But may I tell you that there's countries that are far worse off than we are. Citizens in that country that have suffered a whole lot more during the COVID than we have. And yet I find that their government isn't going, "Hey, let me see what I can do for them." And they would be happy with a bowl of rice. And Americans say, "Well, why can't I go out and eat? Why can't I travel? And why can't I do? And I'm going to do whatever I want to do." And we've got this mindset, but yet the psalmist says that in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And so I look here, as I think about his remaining of thanksgiving, and I find the distractions, I find as well as dependence. His dependence. Now I need you to look here where he's going to be moved from or where he's standing. Notice if you would, at the end of verse 6, he says, "I shall never be moved." And I need us to connect verse 7 with it a little bit. He says, "Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." I've heard the saying, too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. And I don't really know what all that means. Because usually the ones that say it are the ones that are not really any earthly good spiritually anyway. I mean, they're definitely earthly minded, fleshly minded, and anything goes. And boy, I'm telling you, I guess I just don't find a lot of preachers that are standing where they need to stand. I find more that say that are the ones that are turning from where they used to stand. And they've justified it by trying to be more earthly minded to help out. But it doesn't. David said, look, my mind's not in heaven. I'm not looking at the treasures that I've got laid up there. But God's blessed me here. David's still on the earth. David is standing on the earth. Now, you say, preacher, I get that. He's alive and he's upright and he's standing on the earth. No, hold on. May I show you a picture of what God's done to David's life? David was just a shepherd boy, walking out there in the fields, watching and tending over the sheep. God had protected him. God had kept him in his hand. God had had a direction for David's life. And then God put David on a mountain. May I describe in just simple terms what a mountain is? Elevated earth. Elevated earth. I know you're going to say, preacher, that's awful simple-minded. That's kind of petty to think about. But no, hold on a second. David didn't cause the earth to elevate. God had elevated David to the place where he was on some elevated earth. He was on a mountain that wasn't going to stop. He was going to stand strong. Why? It's because of his dependence. David realized that everything that he had came from the Lord. It wasn't dependent upon the things of this world. Oh, listen. In my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. Because God's the one that placed me on that mountain. May I tell you, every child of God out there has been placed on a mountain. We've been placed on a mountain. God has elevated us. He has lifted us up out of that miry clay. He's placed us up on solid rock. It's a place where I shall not be moved. And in my prosperity, I'm not going to move from it then. Notice as well, we find the resting of thanksgiving. In verse number 7 through 10 here, the resting of thanksgiving. In verse number 7, he says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. I can just hear the psalmist as he cries out and he's pleading to the Lord. But may I tell you, there's resting in thanksgiving. I consider our harms here. He's talking about everything's going great, and boy, I'm up on this mountain and everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden the bottom seems to drop out. Now, it didn't. God was still in control. Once again, I don't think that we could find another passage of Scripture that's got 12 verses all together that brings it to 2020. It does. I was looking today as I was writing out the CD and writing the title and the date and everything on the CD for the recording so I can put it online and send those CDs out. But you realize everything is doubles? I mean, today's the 22nd. That's two twos. And then we find that it's November. That's two ones. That's 11. For some of you that are trying to do the math there, that's 11. And so that's two ones. So you got two twos, you got two ones, and then this is 2020. You could go that you got two 20s. You could go that you have two twos. You could go that you have two zeros. But everything, I just thought it was kind of, I don't know, I seen a pattern there. I was like, boy, that's kind of odd, is it not? I know, my wife's giving me the look like, what in the world? My husband's crazy. Well, in prosperity, I said, I shall not, never be moved. I shall not be moved. Amen. But I look here and I find that he had some harm come. May I tell you, his greatest distress wasn't from the enemies that he had already been victorious over. It was from the silence of God. He said in verse number 7, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Have you ever had some times where you felt like God wasn't there? maybe some trials that you've been going through, some struggles that you've had, and it just, where's the Lord in this? I've shared with you before, Ralph Sexton Sr. Told his son that God was silent from him for 9 years. I'm telling you, I am thankful. God knows I would have lost my mind in those 9 years, and God has been merciful to me, and He hasn't kept silent like that. But there's been some times, you know, when you go down and you're trying to pray, and it just seems like they're not even getting out of your lips, and they're falling straight to the ground. Boy, they can't even think about going through the sheetrock and the ceiling. Take your Bibles, hold your place now in the book of Psalm. But take it and turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Every one of us is going to have troubles. Every one of us is going to have times where we're not sure what God wants for us in our life. And I know that we could get super spiritual and say, "Preacher, I know what God's will is for my life all the time." But there's been some times where you're seeking the will of God for your life. And you're just wanting to see, and you know that the direction that you move and that step that you take, and yes, I know that God wants everyone to be saved. That's God's will, is to save everyone. And God wants everyone to come to church. And I know that that's God's will. And God's will is that He wants everyone to read His Word, and He wants everyone to pray. I get that. But there's specific wills. And God's got a specific purpose for your life. And you know that if you don't see that, it's going to be a road of destruction and a road of heartache. And you want that. You want to know where He's wanting you to go. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. May I tell you that praise, honor, and glory is still speaking about thanksgiving? It's still speaking about His praise and His honor and His glory, not yours? Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice. Thanksgiving. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we could even see verse number 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so I look here and I find our harms, and every single one of us is going to face some. We don't know what 2021 is going to hold. I know that everyone has just been crazy about 2020, and you know, you kind of look back, and I still kind of chuckle at the whole thing. I remember when COVID was just something that was overseas. And I had someone here in the church, in fact, I think it was Sister Kathy, that had asked if we were going to the nursing home this Sunday. And I was like, well, why wouldn't we go to the nursing home? I didn't realize that they had shut all the nursing homes down. Sometimes it's all right to not be so knowledgeable. And so we ended up calling, and yeah, sure enough, they were all shut down. And I didn't know that they wouldn't be open now. I didn't know that we wasn't going to be able to have our tent meetings this year. I didn't know that we wasn't going to be able to have vacation Bible school. I didn't know that we wasn't going to be able to run the bus. But God did. And so I look, and I look at verse number 10, and He's talking in verse 7, 8, 9. He's talking about all these troubles that He has, and He's cried out to the right one to help. And so I look not only at His harms, I look at His help. Notice in verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. May I tell you, the rest that He has in thanksgiving is the one that He's relying on. If He's the one, now, this is the same one that just said in His prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. But may I tell you, in His pain, He's never going to be moved either. Because it's not the fact that He's got to figure out what to do, but no, He's just got to rest in the Lord. You remember I gave you 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7 this morning? Cast all your cares upon me. And actually, I guess it's cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. But that, is that not what he's saying? Cast all your cares upon me. How many times do we cast them? I think about coming up here to the altar and we cast them up here and we say, boy, Lord, this is them. I'm just going to air it all out to you, Lord. This is all that's on my mind. This is what's fretting me. And this is my trouble. And this is my pain. And this is my heartache. And then we go to get up. And what do? Oh, hold on, I forgot them. And we pick them back up and we put them in our pocket and we bring them back with us. But if we're truly to take that verse, he says, cast them upon me and leave them there. If you've cast them, that means that you don't want them back. If you've cast them, that means that you're no longer concerned with them. And so I look here and I find his resting of thanksgiving. He has harms. He has pains. He has problems. But he's got the help. He's got the right one. He said, Lord, be thou my helper. Boy, I like how that sounds. I like how he words that. I like how God says it's just in simplicity. You know, I'm reminded, and Jeremiah's over here asleep, but I'm reminded all three of my boys growing up have always came to mom and dad. Why? Because they had needs. And you know what they did? When they came and they said, can you help or can you do? They didn't try to figure it out anymore. It was mom and dad's to figure out. And you know what I found as well? I've got a 25-year-old that's living on his own and pastoring his own church. And I've got a 21-year-old that still lives with us. And I've got a 5-year-old and he's still going to live with us. And you know what I found? That my 25-year-old and my 21-year-old still come down to mom and dad and go, mom and dad, can you help me? Mom and dad, and they might even ask it in different ways now. But the psalmist is saying here, I'm never too old to need your help. You're always going to be my helper. I think of Psalm chapter 121 and verse number 2. He says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so I find as well the return of thanksgiving. Look at verses 11 and 12. The return of thanksgiving. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. The psalmist here is speaking about an attitude. The attitude. He said, you've turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now I've put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Now we could go over to the book of Ecclesiastes and we realize that there's a time, is there not? There's a time and a season for everything. Everyone's going to go through heartaches. Everyone's going to go through weeping. Everyone's going to go through sowing. Everyone's going to go through reaping. But may I tell you that we need to return to thanksgiving. What is our focus today? You ever notice the media? And the focus of the media is not positives. The focus of the media is not good. The focus of the media is negative. The focus of the newspapers and the headlines that are put out today, it's not good stuff. In fact, you don't even know that it's true. But it's something that's going to sell. It's something that's going to get people excited. It's something that's going to motivate. And I'm telling you, there is so much corruption and lies that are spread and flung that people get in a stir and it's not even true. But what's our focus? Is it the negatives of this world that you have no control over? Or is it the goodness of God that you can rejoice in? 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. It would do good today for us to focus on the goodness of God instead of the negatives of this world. Take your Bibles now. Hold your place in Psalm 30. I want you to look at a few places. Notice, if you would, at the book of Ephesians is where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5, I want you to look at verse number 18. I know some of you already know this verse, but I want you to see it all goes together. And by the way, the end of verse number 18 is a semicolon. That means it's attached to verse number 19. And really, we could go on up to verse number 17, because "and" in verse number 18 is a conjunction, which is linking it to the "wherefore" in verse number 17. We could go back to "wherefore." We've got to look what it's there for. And so we'd have to keep going on up. But I want us to start in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, isn't that good? He says, look, this is if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, this is what you're going to do. This is how your attitude's going to change. This is what's going to make the difference. And notice verse number 20 is attached to 19 as well. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, verse number 20 is as well. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Preacher, what are you getting at? How many times do we talk about the things of this world instead of the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs to just lift each other up? I know I don't expect you to... Brother Richard's having a bad day, and so all of a sudden I'm going to break out in a Fanny Crosby great that he loves and sing Blessed Assurance to him. That's not what it is. You remember how Barnabas was the encourager? Wouldn't it be good to have some encouragers today? And our attitude's not about the things that you can't change of this world, but instead it's about how great God is, and He's unchangeable. The world's ever changing. The world's ever changing. No one ever thought that it was going to get to the point that it is today. But may I tell you, it's only going to get worse. And go on over into Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, I want you to look at verse number 8. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, notice this, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What if we didn't have a day of Thanksgiving? And I'm thankful we have a national day of Thanksgiving. I mean, that's a proud thing. But I don't know that it's really the right purpose. Because there's a whole lot of people that don't even know who God really is. And I know you're going to say, preacher, they're giving God credit. No, not really. Not really. How much of it's a mockery? And it's not really focused on that anyway. But it's His people who are called by His name that bring real praise to Him, that bring real glory to Him. And so I look here and I find the return to thanksgiving is not just our attitude, but it's our actions. It's our actions. He tells us here that thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. May I tell you, it's not time to mourn anymore. Yes, mourn for the nation and pray and cry out that God would... it's time for us to stand in that gap. But It's time for us to be able to rejoice in Him. And quit mourning and start rejoicing. Gird up in gladness. I'm reminded of the children of Israel and how many times when things didn't go their way, they would afflict the soul and afflict the flesh with sackcloth. And God said, I'm going to take off your sackcloth and I'm going to gird you with gladness. We might mourn in this world. We might have pain from this world, but we can always have joy in Christ. We can always have gladness in Him. And He says, be not silent. In verse number 12, to the end that my glory, He's speaking about His voice or His tongue, may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. I wonder why Thanksgiving's overlooked. I wonder if it's because the ones that are supposed to be thankful have been silent for too long. I wonder if it's because the ones that should be out there letting others know how good of a God we have haven't been. We haven't been lifting Him up like we need. We haven't been telling others. We haven't even been thankful in our own heart. Instead, we've been focused on the things that the darkness of this world instead of the light of all eternity. Oh, my friend, Thanksgiving or giving thanks, the least I could do. It's the very least that I can offer is to be thankful in Him and give thanks forever. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for just how You've touched. Tonight we sang about amazing grace. And Lord, I'm thankful that that amazing grace has never changed. Lord, I want to be as that psalmist. And I want to be thankful in You. Lord, not necessarily thankful because of the sin and the wickedness of this world. Lord, but I don't want to be so focused on it that I lose my joy and my gratitude in You. Lord, help us tonight that we'd let others know what a blessing it is to be Your child and what a great God You are. Lord, touch us. Touch this church. Continue to protect us, Lord. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I do want to thank everyone for coming, being with us tonight. Once again, don't forget Tuesday night. We'll have service Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. I will put at least the first part we'll have on the internet. I'm not sure exactly everything that the Lord's going to have us do. But I will put the first part on, and then we'll see where we go from there. I've already had the church tell me that if we're going to have it to where they've got to stand in front of the camera to say what they're thankful for, they're not going to do it. But they're going to stay at home that night. So I do want to encourage you, come if you can come. And Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. And pray for each other now. Pray for the safety during this holiday time. If those that are traveling, and not just their safety on the road, but safety from the virus. I did hear, and I forgot to mention this morning, Jonathan had told us that Brother O'Neill had passed away. And I guess he had ended up having COVID as well from the nursing home that he was in. And so do pray for that family. Of course, Miss Bonnie had went to be with the Lord a while ago, but Brother O'Neill had just passed away this last week. I'm not sure if it was yesterday. Sarah, do you know? Yesterday, maybe Friday, but he had passed away, be home with the Lord. And some would say, well, preacher, that's an awful thing. Now, I don't think he'd say that. I think he's rejoicing today. And I'm thankful to have known him and thankful for his faithfulness to the Lord. And so you pray for that family. But pray for each other. Look forward to seeing you Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Amen.